This morning's responsive reading came from Psalm 53. So those of you that have journeyed with us through the Psalms, this is our fourth reading through the book of Psalms as a congregation in our Sunday school hour. Psalm 53. Matter of fact, the title for this particular psalm has already been scratched or annotated in the margin of my Bible because a former guest speaker some time back gave us a message from Psalm 53. And the title was David's Second Edition. David's Second Edition. Now, why do we say that? Turn to Psalm 14. Turn back to Psalm 14. There are times, even in my teaching and preaching, I have been assaulted for being repetitive. And, beloved, I find the fact that God seems to repeat himself quite often. So you kind of wonder that those who would accuse me of being repetitive in comments, whether they would throw the same accusation in God's face. I wonder if they would be so bold. But look at Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now, go back to Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And so we're going to entitle Psalm 53, David's Second Edition. David's Second Edition. He's repeating himself. You would think that maybe Psalm 14:1, simply mentioned once, would be enough. Is anyone going to get to heaven now and jump in David's face because he quotes Psalm 14:1 another time? You know, when somebody normally repeats something, there's at least two reasons why somebody may repeat a certain point. Number one, what they're saying must be extremely important. Matter of fact, even Jesus emphasized that in the King James Version. What do we hear quite often falling from his lips? Verily, verily, I say unto you. In a modern English translation, it reads, truly, truly, I say unto you. There are times Jesus simply uses the verily or the truly once. But when he repeats himself, truly, truly, or verily, verily, that means that what he is saying is so important, he wants to make sure he has our undivided attention. So that's one reason why a pastor or a teacher or even a parent. How many times do you think a parent is going to mention again some of the house rules raising a child for 18 years? Just once? And that leads me to my second point. Why do we repeat ourselves? You know why? Because the average listener never gets it the first time. Sometimes you have to repeat yourself several times before the light bulb goes off. You want further proof? Those of you that have been saved for quite a while, and in your 2, 3, 4, or 5 decades of being a believer, isn't it amazing that some 50 years later, light bulbs and whistles goes off, and you're able to see something that you never saw before, and yet you've read that same page numerous times. It finally sinks in. And so that's why a pastor or a teacher or a parent or a professor repeats themselves. So, versus throwing bricks, be thankful. Because pastoring for 19 years, I have discovered not everyone gets it the first time. And there are those who willingly tune you out because they don't want to hear what is being said. And so that's why you have to repeat yourself. Because pray adventure, God the Holy Spirit may smack them across the head and they'll pay attention at that point. No apologies coming. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In the Hebrew, It reads as follows. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God for me. So that is a very conscious, purposeful declaration on the part of the individual. Nobody is born an atheist. Nobody comes out of their mother's womb an agnostic. To become an agnostic and to become an atheist, the individual has to play with their mind. They have to constantly, over a period of time, suppress any notion of the existence of God, any notion of a higher deity with whom they are accountable and responsible for. They have to suppress any concept that I'm going to die someday and stand in front of this holy being and give an account or an assessment of my years upon his planet. They have to basically deaden their conscience and their mind. You know what a callus is. I got several calluses on my feet. And I got to go to the foot doctor. And I can watch him shaving. And as he's shaving with that very sharp blade, I can see the flakes of dead skin falling into the container that's on the edge of that chair that I have to sit in. It's all those flakes are being caught in this little container so it doesn't get onto the floor. I see all that dead cells, skin dropping, just like snow falling out of the sky. And if you're not careful, that callus can be so hard that you have no sense of feeling in and around that callus. And that's what happens to an atheist or an agnostic. They take their heart and they do so much suppressing and so much arguing away God's existence, their heart becomes callous. There's no feeling at all towards God. The fool. Now, notice the Bible says the fool. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek word that is used for the word fool in the translation comes from a Greek word that means blockhead. A blockhead. Kind of wonder how offensive that might be to some people who are very sensitive and delicate with their feelings. The word translated fool in the Greek means blockhead. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God for me. And then David gives further commentary on the fool. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And when you go to Romans chapter 3, Paul says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand, that did seek God. I look at that verse too, and there are two points of biblical history that come to mind where it talks about God looking down and surveying the situation. I consider the antediluvian civilization of Genesis chapter 6. God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great. And the other time that God came down to look at a certain thing that man was doing was at the Tower of Babel. And God at that point said, while they're building this city whose tower would reach into the heavens, now there is nothing that they would restrain themselves from not doing. Matter of fact, according to Josephus and the interpretation of the rabbis, this city that Nimrod was building and the tower that would reach into the heavens, was Nimrod's defiance. He was one of the grandsons of Noah through the line of Ham. Nimrod's defiance that if God would ever attempt to flood the world, he would save the people in the city that he is building with a tower high enough to sustain the level of the rising waters. How's that grab you? Total defiance. That if God would ever flood the earth again, we will survive. That's bold. Every one of them has gone back. So much for evolution. Here we see a devolution in process. They are altogether become filthy, ceremoniously filthy before God, like, just like a leper There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now you know where Paul got that line in Romans chapter 3. It's right there in the Old Testament. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. Isn't that amazing? They have not called upon God. And then we get that beautiful verse in Romans chapter 10. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, since God does not exist in their mind, God is not part of their world, thus there's no need to call upon a God who apparently is not there. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. So God does despise the workers of iniquity. So much for God loving them. Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. David's second edition. Somehow David was led to write a second time, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God for me." Amen.